The Grow My Cleaning Company podcast helps owners of cleaning companies just like you to grow your company and yourself so you can make more money and finally get the time and money freedom that probably got you into this business. Discover how to automate and create systems that allow you to grow like crazy without losing control. If you dig the show and want to show some love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes. It really helps. Enjoy the show.
Hey guys, welcome to the Grow My Cleaning Company podcast. I'm Lindsay, the client happiness manager. And today I have another, what I like to call the J versus J podcast. I have Jackson here and Jared, both of our ad traffic gurus here. Jared helps elites and Jackson helps our next level and millionaire mastermind folks. And so today I thought I would get both of their brains on this subject that, I guess we could say we see a lot of problems with people, with clients and cleaning company owners, especially when it comes to ad traffic. So today I thought we'd cover the top three ad traffic mistakes that cleaning company owners make. And of course, as you may have noticed, Jackson has his Bucks hat on, and we got to have 5 minutes at the end to talk about the finals last night. So we'll get to that. But first, let's talk about ad traffic. Jared, take it away. What's number one?
So yeah, when Lindsay approached the J's and brought this up about kind of these common mistakes, we really just kind of sat down, Jackson and I, for a couple minutes, and were able to really hammer out the biggest mistakes that people make. Because like she shared, he works with Next Level and Millionaire Mastermind, I work with Elite. And so we tend to see a lot of the same issues kind of over and over again. So if you are listening to this podcast and are thinking, hey, I want to join and work with Grow My Cleaning Company, you'll be one step ahead of most people we work with because you won't have these three mistakes. So our first one that we kind of came up with was the giving up too early stage. So much of us will say, you know what I want to do? I want to advertise on Google. And they'll put a little budget aside and say, all right, here we go. And they'll put it on the internet. And then if they sit by their phone and they wait for their phone to ring, and when their phone doesn't ring, they say, well, I guess Google ads don't work for me. And away they go. And with that mindset, it's an interesting one because you can see that other people are advertising on Google. Other people are advertising on Facebook. It does work. So if it was as simple as putting an ad up and just waiting for your phone to ring, every cleaning company on the planet would be doing it. And they don't. So there is somewhat of an understanding that needs to take place of when you're launching something or doing something new, that it's going to take a bit of time to kind of figure out what's going to work. And that's what's going to move you past your competitors, is because your competitors are doing, waiting for their phone to ring and then bailing. But for you, you're going to be more locked in, figuring this stuff out and understanding, just having that mindset is going to give you the ability to kind of outlast your competition.
Yeah, for sure. There's so much more that goes into it, just besides like getting a week's worth of information and no phone calls or something like that. I always like referring back to ads as like, it's like watching a pot of water try and boil. So as the old saying goes, a watch pot never boils. And you could stare at Google, you could stare at Facebook, and you'll drive yourself insane. And then you, like Jared said, you get into the mindset of, oh, it's not working. But it is working. It's doing what it needs to do, and it takes time and takes adjustments, and it takes understanding what's coming in for you to then realize this is going to work. It's just going to take some time. Everybody else can make it work. I can too.
Okay, so I'm going to be asking the dumb questions because that's what I do. I just ask dumb questions. Can we get more granular? Like sometimes we have clients that come to us, for example, and they might say like, well, how long is too long to wait to give it time? And what's the minimum I should be waiting to see results? What would you guys both say?
That's a good question. So the idea is if you, because this is what we're not saying, and I'm glad that you asked that question, because once you said it, I thought, oh, that's probably what it sounds like. We're not saying give Google, for example, lots of money and just wait longer than the typical person would wait. That's not what we're saying. What we're saying is you're going to give money to Google. Even us, this is what we do full time. We have the mindset of our first swing is just our best swing. Is it going to be a home run? We hope so, But is it? Sometimes we hit first base. Sometimes we get on second. Sometimes we're, it's a fly ball. Sometimes we strike. We don't, it's just our best guess. And so that's essentially what you're doing, is you're taking what you know of your business, what you know of your customers, and you're putting your best guess forward. From there, and this is what's nice about online marketing, is that data is being collected. So you're able to look at data and see what issues are happening and then make changes. We, based on how much you're spending, data will come in faster. So if you're spending lots of money, you can get data really quick and make changes. If you're new to this, I wouldn't recommend putting a bunch of money up all up front for your first swing up at bat, but instead give yourself those couple pitches to get used to what's happening and start to see, hey, this pitch seems a little high, or this pitch seems a little low, or this was quicker than I thought it was going to be, or whatever it may be, so that you can time your swing right to get it. So essentially you're launching something, giving it a few days to watch data, and then you're going to see, are people clicking? Are, if they're clicking, are they staying on my website long? If are they staying on my, are they filling out the form on my website? Are they going to this page on my website? And from there, that's where you're going to make your changes, not just sit and wait and hope that as you spend more money, Google's suddenly going to figure it out.
Yeah.
Okay. Got it. Good point. Okay. Yeah. I could easily see that like spinning out of control, or someone doing the total opposite and being too scared. Which brings us to number two. Jared, you mentioned something, and I'll let you elaborate about a mistake people make about what they talk about on their ads specifically.
Yep. So what happens is, and this was, another one that we see a lot, is that people will say, I'm really interested in advertising on Facebook. Oh, I'm really interested in this. And you go, great, let me look at what you've done. And so, you know, this is part of what we do within our program as well, is we're able to see like, what ads are you currently running, or what have you ran in the past? Let's see what you do. And when I do those dives into their accounts to see what they've ran, most of the time the error is very in my face, just to say, oh, this is it. And it's when we as owners of cleaning companies assume that people want to just hear about us. So we say, this is why we're great. This is why we are wonderful. This is why you should choose us. This is why we're better than other people. But the truth is, when someone's on Facebook, they're not logging in on Facebook thinking, I hope a cleaning company is going to brag about themselves today, because I'm going to stop what I'm doing and engage with that bad boy. But they're instead completely thinking, and if you just think about your own internet experience, your own social media experience, you are thinking about yourself 100%. As soon as you get bored, you leave the platform. As soon as you're intrigued with something, you click that link. So your mind is all about you and what you're going through and what you want to see and what relates with you. So by creating ads that speak to your target audience, meaning that you, or if you're a residential cleaner, you know their pain in your area. You know what they're thinking about. You know why people hire cleaners. You know, it's not just because I want a clean house. There's benefits that come beyond having a clean house. Your kids will behave better if your house is clean. I'm just totally making that up, but I assume that would be something that's true.
I'm like, so, does that happen?
Yeah, just clean your house.
I don't have kids. This is a thing.
Get straight A's. That's all
you
need.
A magic trick.
But I'm kind of using an over-exaggerating to make my point of, you don't just clean homes, you offer more to their lives. And if you can start to tap into that, then when someone's scrolling on Facebook thinking all about themselves and there's something that resonates with them that they say, yeah, I want that. Whatever that person's offering, I want it in my life. That's how you then take their interest and bring them over to you, as opposed to saying, hey, let me take 5 minutes of your time to tell you how great I am. That doesn't work.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically, I really like, I mean, Jared makes it easier for me. So I just go, yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
But really, I try and tell people, put yourself in their shoes. Like, anytime you're doing any type of marketing, don't look at it from the standpoint of a business owner or anything like that. Put yourself in the customer's shoes. And what do you see on a daily basis that makes you, like, what was the last ad you clicked and why did you click it? Was it because it was some company just talking about themselves over and over again? Or was it a value add back to you beyond what you think just the company can do? And that totally applies for cleaning companies, because there is a lot more than just, I'm going to clean your home or I'm going to clean your apartment or something like that. There's so much more that goes into it. And that's what you want to translate to people on the platform, whether it be Facebook or Google, because you're not going to interact with the brand that just goes, we're the best, go with us, as opposed to, you know, we keep your house healthy. We keep you healthy. We give you time back on your day. You can spend your weekends with your family as opposed to cleaning your house, stuff like that.
Yeah. I don't really have a stupid question for this one, but I have a stupid analogy where it reminds me what you guys are both describing is when you're at a party and you don't know someone and someone starts talking to you and gets your interest. And then suddenly they're just totally talking about themselves. And you're like, why did I engage in this conversation, this dialogue? Why did I even think this person was interesting in the first place? So to translate that to something I easily see is when, cleaning companies put out ads that are awesome on the front end and it directs you to a landing page. And then the landing page is just their about us page. And you're like, why did I click on this ad? So just wanted to add that random little weird imagery I had. All right, boys, next thing, last number three that we had, Jared, what is number three? Cause I lost my note on this.
So number three, we kind of tossed around because a lot of the main issues that we see kind of fall in one and two. And so number three for us was kind of like, yeah, we tossed it around for a little bit. And what we kind of came up with, and it's similar, Lindsay, to kind of what you were talking about there, is like, we need, when you're marketing online or when you start advertising, you need to hone in on specific goals. And the goal shouldn't be the home run. Our goal should be, I want to hit the ball when it's pitched. And then it becomes, I want to get to first, I want to get to second, I want to get to third. And as you start to learn that, that's when you can almost guarantee that if I go up to bat, I'm going to hit a single. I kind of know this about myself. I'm going to swing for the fence, but I'll get on first. And that's when ad stops hurting because you're not just throwing money and it goes away and you're just striking out all the time, but you're actually making progress and motion when you're doing things. So an example of kind of to piggyback off what you were saying, Lindsay, is like the data is going to tell you when your landing page sucks because you're going to look at your ad and you're going to say, man, my cost per click is doing really well. My CTR is doing really well. For those listening at home, let me give you a little tidbit here. If your CTR on Facebook or anything is above a 1%, you're getting on base. Your ad is doing what it's supposed to do. And so now if you're not getting anything though, if you're not, your phone's not ringing, if you're just changing the ad, all you're doing is hitting a bunch of singles. But if you instead can say, look, I'm already on base. Now I need to get to second. And it looks like second base, my problem is that people aren't doing anything on my website. That's when that's what I usually tell people I work with. If your ad is converting and the word is right, or the wording is right, the copy's right, the image seems to resonate and stop scroll and all that you need there, take that as a formula over to your landing page and start using similar tones and voice over there as well so that that's cohesive. But if it worked from an ad standpoint, that means you're onto something. So take that to second base with you, take that to third base with you so that you can start to round those bases. But if you're just looking at home run every time you get up, you just have too many problems. You're just going to be changing things all the time. You're never going to lock in. So get on first, I guess, would be the advice I'm going to give you.
Yeah. A couple of things. I mean, one, did you notice as soon as basketball season ended and my Bucks won, Jared just switched to baseball analogies?
Like, yeah, I was going to say as a Cubs fan, I love baseball analogies, but I keep looking at your Bucks hat and I'm like,
Yeah. it's
Jared suspicious. Has some, is directing this anyhow.
It's a good way to look at it though, for sure. Because if your ads are the first thing people see, it's the easiest thing for you to usually change off the bat. And if you're doing well there, like Jared said, you're getting on base. But if you're losing them at that landing page, it's even better. You're getting caught stealing second. Like you're always getting out and nothing's happening. And so it kind of plays back to point one, right? Where you're not giving up after just a couple of days of running and you think nothing's happened, right? When something could happen, people are getting to the landing page, right? So the ads are working, they're doing what they need to do. But because you don't see calls, you think, oh, it's not working. When in fact, there's a kink somewhere in there. There's a broken chain in the fence, and that's what we got to fix. And so you fix that by understanding and looking at the data and understanding, man, I am getting people to the site. They're just dropping off. They're not contacting me. They're not filling out my form. They're not doing what I need them to do. And so that usually translates again back to like point two, where people are, you know, they lose all that customer-centric value on the landing page, and that kind of just goes out the window. And you think, oh, I only need to put it on the front end. No, you need to have it on the website too. You need to get people interested, invested into you, because clicking that button, giving you that call, that's their commitment to it. That gets you to second, gets you to the call, the third, and then the sale is when you're stealing home. So Jared's really right about that, and it plays into the other two mistakes that we outlined earlier.
Okay, so in closing here, Jared, can you summarize the 3 points again one more time succinctly for someone that's ADD like me?
Yes, I can. So point one was to understand that just because you're not getting results doesn't mean we give up, right? And that was a problem that we see a lot, is that we spend some money and then we deem it as something that doesn't work for us. And so we don't look back on it. And that's a big problem. Problem number two was kind of the self-promotion side, when we just say, I'm going to pay money to put myself in your feed so that I can talk about myself. And it's the party analogy that Lindsay brought up. You don't walk around a party just saying, here's about me, here's about me, here's about me, here's about me. You're just not going to gain any friends during that. And then the last one was to understand that online marketing isn't about the end result, but that you have to take steps to get to the end result. And then much like what Jackson said, with there's a kink in the hose, or there's a chain that can be broken. You don't just go to Home Depot and buy a whole new chain or a hose in that scenario, because you have a kink in it. The idea is you follow the hose until you find the kink, and then you just unkink it. So instead of looking at it from this is what I need, or it's a bust, as little wins along the way, you're going to find that once you crack or unkink that hose, things will start to flow for you, and you can at least get to first and to second and to third and so on. Or if we want to do a basketball analogy, we could say, like, if you're Giannis, you need to make sure that every superstar breaks an ankle, pulls a groin, so that you have a chance to get to the finals. Because without anything like that, we know that Giannis is probably out second round to the Nets, would be my guess. Yeah, that's basketball analogy for you. How's that one for you?
Okay, so now we're on to the basketball championship part of the podcast, which Jared gracefully... Jared's a Lakers fan, by the way. If you haven't heard our J versus J series, go back and listen to all of them, because not only will you get amazing tips like this, you'll also hear the banter. Jackson, the podcast is now yours to fight against Jared and his headband here, if you're on the podcast and can't see.
There's no fighting needed. We won. It's over. One, I'm happy they won. Two, I can go and focus on baseball, which I like a lot more than basketball. And yeah, it was just fantastic. I mean, if Jared, you talk about injuries, our boy hyperextended his knee 2 weeks ago. He should be on crutches, on a scooter. And he put up 340-point-plus games to close out the NBA Finals. He's one of three players up there with Kareem Olajuwon and Hakeem Olajuwon and Jordan to do Finals MVP, Finals champion, two-time MVP, and DPOY. He's one of three, and he's 26. I'm 26. That's insane. Like, just as a human being, it's amazing. He grew up, for anybody that doesn't know, go watch the 60 Minutes on Giannis. He grew up selling CDs, didn't start playing basketball till he was 12, borrowed shoes and shared them with his three brothers. Now, all three brothers, Thanasis, Kostas, and Giannis, are NBA champions. One with the Lakers, two with the Bucks.
One with the Lakers, that's right.
Yeah.
There you go, Jared.
I think he's our lowest bench player.
Yeah, he is. The Lakers basically were like, well, maybe we can get him and convince Giannis to come over to the Lakers if we have him. And then said, well, we'll sign his older brother, who's better, and we'll keep him.
Gotcha. Yeah, I got to give it to Giannis. He played great against the Phoenix Suns. Chris Paul.
Notice Mike's not on this podcast. I made sure.
He had to be. Yep. Good job. 36-year-old Chris Paul, because of injuries, that's just kind of what ended up in the finals. So good for him. He did a great job against Chris Paul and young Booker. But I would love to see what conversation, because, you know, we got done with, sorry, podcast world, we got done with this thing. And I, like I said, Giannis, he's a great guy. I appreciate where he's coming from. But then he's like, super teams. I did it without a super team. And it's like, dude, you didn't play a super team. They all got injured because they were all in the bubble way longer because you got rocked in the playoffs last year. So they all had this extended season. And now he comes back and plays the Phoenix Suns. Yeah, of course you can put 50 points. Chris Paul's defending you. Give me a break.
Well, actually, it was Jay Crowder and DeAndre Ayton. So still, they got nothing. I agree, but it's last year. And we're in the present. This is This is now, and we won.
Yeah,
and we're going to continue to win. And it's going to be a great season next year when stuff is normal, life is normal. I think basketball is going to go back to being really fun to watch.
That's where it's going to get weird. It's because the Bucks are going to say, "Let's run it back." And then they're going to go, "What happened?" "Well, dude, I'll tell you what happened. You had to play KD and Kyrie and Harden in the same basketball game. That's what happened." You know, the Suns are going to do the same thing. They're going to go, "Let's run it back, baby. We're a great team." And then they get bounced by the Lakers in the first round. It's just, You know, it is what it is. But we'll see. I will have full respect for Giannis. I will wear a Giannis t-shirt if in a year you and I are sitting on this podcast and he's won another one. I don't see it.
Oh, this is on record. This is recorded. This is happening. Yep, all right, guys. Well, at that, we are now in full-fledged baseball season. Jared, do you follow baseball?
Yep, Dodgers all the way.
Dodgers, Cubs, Brewers?
Yeah, Brewers.
This is going to be interesting. So, okay. So we'll cross that bridge later in the season. But
and then you can join us in this one, Lindsay. And then we just do a three-way battle.
Yeah, man, yeah.
At least the Cubs and the Brewers don't cheat with their pitching staff. That's all that matters. So it's all good. I could go on about they've got some bad things going off in the Dodgers bullpen right now. And I don't like the Cubs, but at least Lindsay and I can be on the same page as we don't cheat and we don't do bad things off the diamond.
Well said. You also don't win. So there's that.
The Brewers, like the best team in the
I got nothing. I got 2016, y'all. That's all I got. All right, boys. All right, let's close this episode out. Today, if you're interested in not interested in basketball or baseball, which you probably are, maybe not, and want to know about how we can help your cleaning company grow and scale, check us out at growmycleaningcompany.com/talk, where you can get on a call with one of our coaches and find out more of how we can help you grow and scale. And that's it, Cleaning Nation. Until next time, we'll see you then. Bye-bye.
Well, here we are, the end of the podcast, and you made it. Great job. I've got a little bonus for you before for sticking through with me, but like I mentioned before, if you got value out of this podcast and you want to show a little love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes, Spotify, wherever the heck you're listening to this thing, share with a friend, share the love. And as a special thank you for those of you that stuck with me to the end, how about I give you my personal phone number so we can text? It's a great way for me to get to know you, your business, your goals personally. So shoot me a text now, 602-932-6431. 602-932-6431. I am the only one who responds to these texts, and I will personally respond to everyone I possibly can as long as this number is manned. Don't know how long we're going to keep this at the end of the podcast, so grab it now. 602-932-6431. Give me a text. Say hey. Can't wait to meet you.